Time now for three stories you should know, and I'm joined this week by Will Leach of Sports on Earth. He joins me via Skype, and by Andrea Kramer of the NFL Network HBO, among other things, who joins me from the lobby of a sports analytics conference. I mention that only in case you hear the clatter and whir of mathematicians walking by. Anyway, welcome to you both.
Thanks, Bill. Always great to be on with you.
I can never get mathematicians to come by my house.
Let's begin. This week, a jury awarded sportscaster Erin Andrews $55 million in her lawsuit stemming from a 2008 incident where a stalker filmed her through a peephole while she was staying at a hotel. Andrea, I understand that case has you thinking about the dangers faced by women who choose to cover sports.
Sadly, it's not something new. It's not a new phenomenon. I think it just morphed into something worse over the years. I mean, I hate to date myself here, but back in the late 80s, I had a situation in a hotel with someone who was calling my room with some pretty scary threats. And I ended up having a security guard posted all night outside my room. And I remember telling my coworkers, who were all men, the next day, and they were like, "Are you kidding me? Why didn't you just call us? You know, we would have come and slept on the floor of your room." I mean, you know, being in this male-dominated profession, it does breed a certain kind of real weirdo that's going to follow us. I mean, I've gotten letters and all sorts of strange things, but now you don't even have to pay for a stamp, okay? Now you just go onto social media. It's sort of scary in a way that you necessarily wouldn't expect.
I think it's beyond sort of scary, especially when you consider the sports world in general. We have a situation where women are in locker rooms working as reporters, women are working as commentators, women working as analysts and anchors and everything else. And still, there hasn't apparently been nearly enough progress just in the way women are regarded.
Right. And as father of daughters, I'm sure that it even touches a nerve for you as well.
Well, I, you know, as a son of a mother, as a father of daughters, right. As a citizen of the world.
It's amazing to me the number of people that have said, "Well, we had no idea this was going on." Well, women in sports have been like, "This has been going on for so long." And I think that is one advantage that social media does give us, is it makes us more aware of it in a way that we might not be otherwise.
I'll tell you one thing that's sort of strange. You know who sometimes are the people who can be most protective? Are the athletes. Mm-hmm. Even with fans, it's happened to me even, you know, where they will, you know, kind of look out for you.
I'm happy to hear, Andrea, that sometimes athletes have been on the right side of this question.
Yes,
because we hear negative stories so
sometimes
often.
Sometimes they are.
Will, you're up next.
All right. So earlier this week, many of my Yankee friends who grew up loving the 90s Yankees teams came to me in anguish and despair. Mm. Nothing involving A-Rod this time. It was, in fact, Paul O'Neill, who represents a certain kind of thing to a certain kind of Yankee fan. The guy given the name The Warrior by George Steinbrenner endorsed Donald Trump. You know, I heard a lot of people say, "My childhood memories are ruined. I can't root for this guy anymore." But it doesn't actually change what Paul O'Neill means to you. This week, Urban Meyer, the coach of Ohio State, endorsed John Kasich. Now, you might not like John Kasich. You may think he's a terrible politician. But if you are an Ohio State fan, you do not care. That does not actually make a difference in your life one way or the other. Your childhood memories are not ruined because Paul O'Neill helped Donald Trump sell steaks for an evening.
It's so funny because anytime we get into this discussion, the first thing that always comes to mind for me is, of course, you know, Michael Jordan's classic line when he was asked to endorse a Democratic candidate in his home state of North Carolina years back. And he said, "Hey, Republicans buy sneakers too." You know, we can't have it both ways. You can't expect players to have a social conscience and to speak up about certain issues. And then, you know what? If you happen to not like their choice of a political candidate, you can't not like them for that. So like them for what they do on the field, on the court, in the stadium, at bat, whatever it is. And whatever they choose to do personally and whoever they choose to endorse, that's their own choice as well.
So, Andrea, you can tell me with certainty that your choice of a political candidate has never been influenced by the choice of an athlete whom you admire greatly.
Are you serious? No. 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 I can definitively tell you that. No. I don't care.
See, this is an easy one for me because I live in the neighborhood of Curt Schilling. And Curt Schilling taught me to never take seriously any athlete who endorses anybody in a political realm. Time for the third of our three stories. Maria Sharapova says neither she nor anybody working for her read the email which specified that meldonium, a medication she had been taking for 9 or 10 years, had been added to the banned substances list. And that may be true. I don't know. I think the more significant issue has to do with when it's acceptable for athletes to take prescription drugs that anybody else, you or me or anybody else, could take without any controversy. Swimmers and runners take asthma medications. Baseball players, among others, take medications for attention deficit disorder. It just seems to me unlikely that all these athletes are suffering from the conditions they're being medicated for. But on the other hand, are the anti-doping agencies the right people to be making that distinction?
We saw this in baseball with Chris Davis. Chris Davis was taking something for his attention deficit syndrome, but then forgot 1 year to get the waiver that allowed him to take it, tested positive, and now he goes to games and people call him a juicer. To me, the problem is not so much what's on the list and what isn't on the list, but the way that we react the same way to all of them. And you saw it this week with Sharapova, where people, like her sponsor, sprinted away from her because one email didn't get to her. I find it a little baffling.
Interestingly enough, her sponsors sprinted away much more quickly than the sponsors Lance Armstrong had accumulated for years. They hung in there with him until it was obvious.
I have to admit, I have a little bit of a higher degree of skepticism here. It just is hard for me to believe with as many handlers as someone the caliber of Maria Sharapova has, that nobody noticed that this changed. I mean, it just doesn't make any sense to me. And I guess my level of skepticism is just a little higher.
I don't know if Sharapova is telling the truth or whether she isn't. Maria Sharapova is a great athlete, and she's been a great athlete for a long time. And the idea that all of her achievements are somehow now devalued because there is a switch in their policy this year, whether she saw it or whether she didn't, she admits she's been taking it her entire career. Do we think that her achievements are somehow lost value? Apparently Nike does. I think there's a simplicity in the way that we look at that. We're using a machete rather than a syringe.
My guests for three stories you should know have been Sports on Earth's Will Leach and Andrea Kramer of HBO, the NFL Network, and others. Thank you, both of you.
Thanks, Bill. Always great to be on with you guys.
An honor as always.